This episode of the Last Drinks podcast is sponsored by Zecca Skin. Zecca Skin specializes in high-quality men's skincare products that not only benefit the health of your skin, but also support men's mental health. Use discount code LASTDRINKS25 at checkout to get 25% off all Zecca Skin products. And if you wish to support the show, you can now donate via Buy Me A Coffee. That's www.buymeacoffee.com/lastdrinks. All donations will go to keeping the show running and thriving. We greatly appreciate all the support we've received from our fans and followers. Now sit back and relax, and we hope you enjoy this episode of the Last Drinks podcast.
I guess this is the Last Drinks podcast. I guess I'm Will Hitchens, and I guess this is Mitchell Ford.
I think so. Yes, welcome.
Mitch is back from his year of traveling. He's making a brief pit stop here before he's off doing other things he's doing with your life, which we'll catch up with in a moment. But how are you doing, Mitch?
Oh, I'm good. It's good to be back. Yeah, it's really good. after the last 6 months consistently abroad, it's nice to be back in Australia, have a bed, not have to stay in a hostel.
Yeah.
Not living out of a bag is nice. It was an incredible journey, but it's good to be back in Australia.
Yeah, because we parted ways at the start of this year and January, and then I think the last episode we did together, you were in Poland, so you were in Krakow, and we were trying to do an episode, and then as soon as we started, you had some next door neighbors doing some handiwork.
Yeah.
And being in a country that some speak English, but obviously the native language of Poland is Polish, and I don't know if you learnt much Polish while you were there.
No,
to communicate to the fine handymen of Poland, whether they would be, you know, continuing to do work. What was it? It was on a bathroom or
it
something.
It was, yeah. I remember going upstairs and just trying to speak English, and they stared at me like I was a ghost. And then I sort of pointed at my watch and like, what time will you finish? And they just kind of just went back to work. So I was like, okay, I guess they'll finish when they're ready.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the last time. And then since then after Poland, I went to the Czech Republic, and then I went to Berlin briefly for a couple of nights, and then to Belgium for a few nights, Amsterdam for 3 nights as well. And then caught a bus to London, where I spent about 4 or 5 nights, and then went up to the north of England for a few nights, like Manchester, that kind of area.
Yeah.
Then quickly back to London, and then flew to Japan, where I spent like the last 10 to 12 days. And
yeah, I remember. Like you were, because, I mean, for me, you know, when we've been corresponding, it's like you were going to finish in London.
Yes.
And then you'd be back. And then I've opened your story on Instagram one day and it says Tokyo. I'm just like, what the fuck's he doing there?
Yeah, look. Yeah, the trip was, it went for about 3 weeks longer than predicted. About 3.5 weeks. I was supposed to be back at the end of May. It's now the end of June. So, strike while the iron is hot.
Yeah.
You're over there and you're having fun and you meet people and things are happening. It's hard to go home, but it's been really amazing.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Japan?
No. I've never been to Japan.
What was Japan like?
Japan's great. Yeah. It's incredibly clean, like weirdly clean. Like,
yeah, I've heard that.
Like not one piece of rubbish. It's like settling.
I've heard that there's no rubbish bins.
You're
expected to just take your rubbish with you.
Yeah. There's no bins. Tokyo is surprisingly quiet. It's the biggest city in the world. It's like 30 million people or something. But there's almost hardly any traffic. There's not much noise. It's like whisper quiet. It's a really cool place. And the food is amazing. The people are super polite. The public transport's great. So, yeah, Japan was amazing. Also, like I think I said to you before, I tried some non-alcoholic sake.
Yeah,
so I was at dinner and everyone was having sake and I felt all sorry for myself. But then there on the menu was a non-alcoholic. So I felt really included. Too bad it tasted like complete shit, but at least I was included and I felt like I wasn't being left out of the alcohol consumption.
Well, that's a handy thing because, I mean, I don't think I've ever even had sake when I was a drinker. Maybe I did, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I can't really say I would remember what it tasted like. I don't know, pure gasoline or something.
Yeah, that's my memory of it. Just like pretty strong and pretty harsh.
This was something that obviously off camera in the beginning days of exploring this venture, this podcast, you'd made mention that, look, this was something that you wanted to do. You wanted to see the world basically because you didn't, you didn't really have the opportunity. You kind of, I guess you had your period in the army, you had a period of work, you had, you had certain relationships, you had this, house back in Adelaide, and it's done.
It's done for now.
What have you been your biggest takeaways from, the gap year?
The biggest takeaways, there's been a lot, and it's such a long time that there's been periods which have been really great and just completely different. Like my time in Europe was so different to my time in India, and time in America was so different again. But I guess probably some of my overall takeaways we talked before was just that Australia is a pretty amazing country. I think that's like a massive one, is just being overseas and especially, parts of Asia and parts of Eastern Europe and even Western Europe. They have a lot of problems and challenges that we just haven't faced, or we don't face and we haven't faced. And I don't think that we're always fully grateful or aware of it. But it's probably like a massive one, is that we live in kind of like this nice, fairly safe bubble, economically relatively stable. Obviously, at the moment, there's problems with housing and things, but rest of the world is facing that too.
Yeah.
It's actually a lot worse in some other countries. Like in London, it's horrific. Not to say it's great here in Australia, but it is really bad elsewhere. And they've also got a lot more political unrest, a lot of crime. Like I said to you, I saw a guy get bashed up in London, spoke to some people, and they said that's a very common thing, just like daylight assaults, daylight stabbings. And then in France, they have a bunch of that kind of thing happen all the time as well. It's probably like a big takeaway is just how great Australia is.
Yeah, because that was a lot of, even you were saying that, it puts in perspective of, I guess, like what we've got here.
Yeah.
And maybe for a lot of people, if they haven't explored outside this country, because, we are quite isolated in a sense, to get sort of anywhere that far away is... you can easily be sort of caught in your own bubble and focused in on what's going on here to what's going on the rest of the world. I made a conscious effort, I guess during the spicy cough season to tune out more and more from the news because it's mostly negative. But then I'd come out one day and then my housemate would say to me, "Oh, did they find the submarine?" I'm like, what submarine? I'm like, oh, Ocean Gate. It's not even. It wasn't a submarine. It was a submersible, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think the technical term that got lot. That got, obviously, it imploded, didn't it?
Yeah.
Looking for the Titanic with a bunch of, there was a couple of billionaires and then the CEO of the company.
It was $250,000 to go down there.
Yeah. Isn't that a similar price to Richard Branson's spaceship to go up into space?
I don't know what the price was, but I'd feel much safer with Richard.
Yeah, I think I guess they both have their risk, because I guess the rocket could go up and explode. And then would you rather explode or implode?
No, but I trust Richard Branson. Yeah. He's been around for a while.
Yeah.
He's been, I feel like he follows the regulations a bit more.
Yeah, because that was the thing, wasn't it? That there was some.
Oh yeah, there was videos of him online being like, "Oh yeah, they have told me you can't do this, but hey, here I am doing it." And it's like, shock! It's imploded under mass amounts of pressure.
Yeah,
it's like a homemade submersible. Yeah,
because I was just like, I wonder what would that look like? There's always that fascinating. It's like, what would it look like to just a thing to just implode like
that? I saw a video today, and it was of a train carriage experiencing an implosion of much less force than the submarine, and it's just like this huge tanker, and then half a second later it's just like it just completely implodes. And so that was apparently like a very small amount of pressure compared to what they predict was experienced, so I can imagine it was pretty violent.
Look up on the news, and then there's stuff going on in Russia.
Yes.
With whatever's.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm not even entirely sure what's, it's like, are there Russians fighting Russians? But.
Yeah. Well, and even with that, like, I met a girl, a Ukrainian woman in Italy, and she'd moved to Italy once the war had started. So her, I think her father and her brother had to stay and fight. So yeah. She's got out and she was expecting to just be like a month or two.
Mm.
But it's like a year later.
Yeah.
She's still there. And trying to talk to her about it. And she's just had to adapt. She's learned Italian and she's teaching, I think she's teaching Italian or Ukrainian or so, like basically teaching language in Italy. And yeah, I guess like meeting her and just like the perspective of that. Mm. Like in Australia, we think, you know, we do still have problems. Everywhere has problems, but like it puts it into perspective of the level of problems that we have compared to particularly like what's happening in Europe at the moment and also what they've gone through for the last like 100 years as well.
It's
just insane some of the stuff that a lot of these countries have gone through and then like politically they have a lot of wild stuff going on. Like I know in Hungary they've got like anti-LGBT rules and stuff that they've like legally like they've made it illegal to be gay now and you know, which is pretty wild considering how far I thought we've sort of come pretty far, but it's not everywhere and it's just stuff that we don't really learn about, I guess. Like you say, the media controls what we want to know, but a lot of parts of the world there's still a lot of really messed up stuff happening. So that's probably one of the main takeaways I had from my travels in terms of global insights.
Yeah. I mean, I've mentioned myself about the fact that I have to move out of this place. Well, it'll be just over a month now. Still haven't made any sort of solid plans with that. You know, but I'm sure I can string something together last minute. When there's a will, there's a way.
The universe will look after you.
Yeah. So, I guess I didn't record an episode last week. That was the first time I hadn't made anything with this, and it was because I had a kind of coming off the edge of a cold, but then I've been because I've been exploring this other stuff with this other social media stuff that I've been doing, which has now kind of taken off quite a bit, and then you know it's like, okay, well this could be something here to work with, and then just trying to sort out, like I've been applying for work and then looking at places to live, so there's a bit on, and then like kind of cruising with this a bit to then, all right, where can we redirect this? Can we keep this going? Can we keep it fresh and exciting and engaging for our listeners?
Of course.
And it was good to do a little, you know, we're doing a little catch up here get the ball back rolling, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So a big part of, was basically the perspective. Was there anything else you took away from it?
I guess I had a lot of time to reflect on my life and where I want to personally go. I was going to announce on the show that I'm moving over to Europe, which you know, to go back to uni, which is something that I've been interested in doing, and I stumbled across while I was traveling. And I guess with not drinking alcohol, I think a huge part of it is finding a direction to go in, finding your why, which is something we've talked about before.
Yeah.
Is finding your why, finding your direction.
Yeah.
What's going to guide you through life, and I'm fortunate enough that I found that. So that's probably a massive learning that I've had whilst traveling is there's a challenge. It's a 5-year degree, and it's going to be very difficult because I haven't studied in a long time, and historically, I sometimes struggle with paying attention and things like that for long periods. So for me, it's something that's going to be very difficult, but I also feel really good about it, and I feel like it's going to guide me through the next 5 years of my life. And so that's obviously been pretty massive for me in terms of learning while I've been traveling. And we'll still do episodes while I'm overseas, but obviously you'll be sort of steering the ship as you have been.
Yeah.
It obviously sucks because I do love doing this podcast, but I guess for me, it's this opportunity that's been presented is something that it feels really right and something that's really going to guide me through my life and get me into a place where I want to be professionally. And the final thing I wanted to mention that I learned as well was I guess it was to do with an earlier podcast with where I'd done the meditation retreat and I was talking about how meditation is an incredibly powerful thing. And I guess as I've traveled, I've had a lot of time to reflect on my experience on the meditation retreat and also my desire to pursue a goal. Because, you probably remember me talking about the fact that kind of like setting goals is kind of against the whole meditation thing. You know, meditation is just about being present and and not pursuing things. Yeah. Desire is the root of suffering. Mm. And then, but then desiring, and we've talked about, I think I talked about setting wholesome goals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like this is a really wholesome goal. But I also thought about the fact that in life, I guess you can follow the monk life, or you can follow the life of a man, which is, I guess, more set with, trying to provide to your community and trying to become the best version of yourself. And I guess that's kind of a decision we all have to make, which path we want to go down. And of course, there's probably somewhere in the middle too. So my mindset probably has changed since that meditation retreat, because I realized, or I thought that, there's something I want to pursue, and it's going to end up being able to help other people and provide to the community.
Mm.
And so, that's been another big learning while I've been traveling.
Mm. I remember it was somewhere along the lines, I guess you were actually considering staying over. I think you were going to base yourself in England and then do like the work that you did before.
Mm.
And you were sharing that with me. And part of me just thought, and I could see why you do it, because you're enjoying the traveling, you're enjoying the experience. But, if it would be to say, okay, but then you would be, you'd be based somewhere different, but you'd be doing the same work you're doing before, that you eventually just thought, this isn't the direction I want to go. So I think it's good that you've, redirected your sails and then found, I guess, the direction that you want to head in, or at least start to explore, which is, with going to, which you did share with me a while ago, that, this was the direction you wanted to go. And I think it's great. I think it's such a wild thing, because, we met a year ago.
Yeah. I know.
And we're doing all this, and then, because I think we were saying before, it's like, did you imagine, a year ago that this is where your life would be in a year's time?
No. Even 3 months ago, if you told me where I was now, I wouldn't believe it. Mm. It's the last year has just been so transformational. And if it wasn't for being sober, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And that's probably my final major learning from traveling, is just that you really don't need alcohol to have a good time, to live a fulfilling life. Mm. Honestly, it's really reinforced to me, because traveling, beforehand I was so worried about being sober overseas and how am I going to have fun and all these kind of thoughts going through my head. I'm going to be boring at hostels. But it was just the opposite. I found that it was a lot more enjoyable. I had so much more energy than other people, just because, a lot of people were also didn't drink that much, but I did meet a bunch of people that were getting pissed most nights, and I'm sure they were having fun, there's no doubt, but it comes with the side effects, as we all know what a hangover feels like. And and when you're overseas in a hostel, you don't want to feel hungover. It's pretty horrible. It's been fantastic in this direction I'm heading in. Would not be possible unless I was sober. If I was drinking, I wouldn't even be close to the mark. So it's definitely got me to a place where I'm quite happy. I can confidently say where I'm at now is probably one of the happiest I've been in my entire life. And that's after going through a period where, it was pretty dark for a long time, drinking and partying, which we've talked a lot about in the past, but just going hard and working at, just being around people that probably aren't good. And I've changed my environment. I've done things that I want to do, and I'm pursuing things I want to pursue. And subsequently, I'm a lot happier.
If this podcast is a ship, and then, you've got another ship that's all right, we've got to sail into, I've got to follow the sails, I've got to follow the current this way for the time being. But, the ship of this podcast is still here. I'm just guiding it where it needs to go. And wherever we're going to explore in the open ocean.
Exactly,
Even just taken away from your experience where, obviously there was a lot of worry about, how am I going to do this? And, I think it's just jumping in. I think it's just I certainly think I think for people, if they were going to go overseas sober and they haven't, I remember I was talking to a friend recently, and she talked to me about a friend of hers who's, she knows that the drinking is affecting her. It's not bad, but she, it's negatively impacting her, but not to a red alert extent. But and she was like, oh well, she, as this time of year, a lot of people are going to Europe, European summer trips, and so it's we'll revisit it when they come back from Europe. And I was like, yeah, that's probably fair, because I just think if you're trying to quit drinking right before you go do something like that, that could be quite difficult. Unless you're, I mean, like with a lot of people, if you're just really fucking determined to do it, we've had plenty of them on here that just, they just made a decision and it stuck with it. But I mean, it can be a difficult thing to transition into, especially, yeah, if you don't, if you're going on your own, you don't have a support network around you, and you're going into environments where, yeah, really you just got to count on yourself. But I think, you know, you can sit and dwell on it for ages and make it out to be worse in your head, and then once you dive in, and it could be a bit uncomfortable, it could be nerve-wracking, you know. If you just stick to your guns and just, you know, say, you know, if you get offered a drink, just say no. If you don't, or what, you know, it's just like, oh, I'm just, I just don't drink.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that was that the sort of thing you did? It was just like, yeah, I just don't drink. And then it's just like, all right.
Yeah, the most common interaction I had was positive. You know, like I got questioned. Yeah, I mean, if people found out, they'd say, oh, why don't you drink? And I'd often just say, I used to drink too much.
Mm.
And they go, yep, fair enough.
Mm.
That was kind of it, you know, for the most part. Some people followed up and asked a couple more questions, but for the most part, it's curiosity from people, not so much judgment. They're just curious as to, oh, wow, like, how do you go traveling and that kind of thing without drinking? It's not like necessarily a judgmental, like, why don't you drink? What's wrong with you? It's more just curiosity. And it was a very positive reaction from most people. And then actually I played a game on a few different occasions of, I would try and go the whole night without telling anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one night in my mind that I got away with it. There was three young Aussie blokes, which was really refreshing because I hadn't met many Aussies, and they were like 21 from Perth, and they were just absolute Aussie larrikins, love surfing, love the beers, love footy, like, you know, typical legends. And yeah, they were like, oh, we'll come meet you wherever you are. We'll go on a night out. And we went out for most of the night, and I managed to completely evade them knowing that I don't drink, because I would go order after them. I'd order non-alcoholic beers, and then went to a cocktail bar and I just ordered like a Coke. And, you know, it's put in a fancy glass. And they didn't know.
They didn't know.
And went the whole night, went to a karaoke bar, sang till like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And these guys never knew. They probably still don't know that I don't drink. So, yeah, you can do that too. It's you can disguise it. And I didn't do that because I'm ashamed. It was just more of a fun thing for me. I just thought, like, this would be fun. Let's see if I can get away with not actually saying it. And you can. And, you can do that, or just be upfront and tell them, yep, I have a problem with alcohol, or I just choose not to drink. And, yeah, honestly, it's pretty positive. And the other thing, like, I don't know if it's just me or whether it's an Australian thing, but a lot of the people that I met and hung out with, the way that they drank, because I would go to dinners and go to nightclubs or karaoke bars, and they would be drinking, and because I was sober, I was able to see how much everyone was drinking and the rate that they were drinking at. It also made me realize how much of a pisshead I was as well, because you know, a lot of the people, they're having like 2 drinks over the course of the night, 3 drinks over the course of the night. They're ordering a beer, taking like an hour to finish it, 2 hour break, order another beer, and I'm like, the fuck is wrong with you?
Like,
why don't you have two? Why don't you have the third one coming already?
Like,
where's the shots at?
Like,
what's the hell? What are you guys doing? So that was another thing I noticed while I was traveling. Is just,
we
were definitely pissheads. Because, most people, they just have a couple of drinks. And
then it's like, oh, so that's what it's meant to be like. That's drinking responsibly.
That's drinking responsibly. Yeah. And I saw it a lot. Because before that, I hadn't really seen that, if I'm honest. Like, working in construction, you know, with army blokes or with footy lads or cricket lads or whichever, you know, I was in all these kind of environments. You don't drink like that. You get pissed. I mean, maybe there's a couple of guys, but maybe I just never noticed. But for the most part, it's just, let's get shots in. Let's get fucking cans of UDL. Let's just go nuts.
Just go nuts, yeah. And that's, like, it's just an observant thing. And then, I think what I was thinking about before was how we can – I think we just make out in our own heads that it's going to be a lot worse than we think than it ends up being.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, like you were saying, you know, it's more curiosity than it is like judgment. Because, I'm like trying to think in my own time, have people had a go at me for not drinking in person? And the answer would be no. They've had a go at me online.
Of course.
They've had a go at me online.
You long haired cuck, beta, whatever they call you.
So that's always the interesting thing. Because, I mean, I was saying on that, I had a video on one of the from the clips. I think it was from an interview from another podcast I did, and it was on. The clip was talking about, you know, I was just saying, you know, would I ever, you know, people asked me if I'd ever drink again, and I just sort of said, well, what's the point? Like, yeah. I've kind of completed it, yeah, like a video game. And yeah, so then you'd get people who are angry at, you know, I'm preaching from a soapbox about sobriety, you know, I'm preaching this thing that, you know, turned my life around for the better, you know, and perhaps other people could try it out themselves, and maybe their lives might improve. I mean, it's, yeah, I'm not selling it to people. I mean, I can, the only way I'm selling it is just like, I can show you videos of what I used to be like, who I used to be, and then who I am now. And the big difference is that alcohol is completely out of the picture.
Yeah, it's a great way to put it. And I guess it's just that, yeah, getting alcohol out of your life will just give you clarity for everything else. Because for me, it was so dominant. Mm. Alcohol was such held so much space in my head rent free. You know, it was just like, I was really concerned about when I was going to get pissed next. When can I, like, can I take this day off so I can go to this festival and get pissed there? Like, it was always just so much revolved around alcohol.
Yeah.
And when that's the case, it's not, I mean, yeah, that's annoying in itself, but it's also, you're missing out on so many other things you could be worrying about, what you could be moving towards, hobbies you could find. And so, yeah, maybe you don't need to quit forever either. Maybe, you know, you're a kind of person, you just need to get it out for, you know, 6 months or a year, which a lot of people do, and maybe you can work out what you need to work out and go back. But, I mean, we often know what happens.
Yeah.
It depends on the level of alcoholism that you're at. But even if you're someone who just mildly drinks, maybe that's good just to have a break and clear a few things out in your mind. But, yeah, I think that's just such a big thing about going sober. And like, I know personally with me, the journey I'm going on with uni and just the way the gap year's gone, I wouldn't have been able to do it if I was drinking. I would have ran out of money by now. I probably would have run out of money in the first 3 months, honest. Like,
that's the thing. Yeah. It's always the money will fucking go as well. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the music festival in London, beers were, I think, £8, which is $16, and that was like it's not like a big beer. And same with like the one standard drink vodka cans were £8.
Yeah.
So, you know, $16 per drink, you have 10 of those, it's $160 plus the tickets plus whatever else.
Yeah. Can't get pissed on that.
And you can't get pissed on that anyway. You're going to need at least 30 of them.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Because that was, when I get the comments from people like that, who just, it just touches a nerve to just, which is, it's interesting because you'd think, okay, well, would people who don't have a problem with drinking would probably just, all right, I don't, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
But it's, I guess if it touches a nerve with people, it's a funny thing because it's just like, well, if you don't have a problem, then this shouldn't bother you.
Yeah, exactly. That's like a good way to know if you have a problem is like, is the thought of not having alcohol in your life, does it really upset you?
Mm.
And if it does, well, you might have.
And apparently the thought of someone else saying that, you know, not having alcohol in your life is great, touches a nerve with you. I had this mate of mine, Jesse, on 2 weeks ago. You know, he was a heroin addict. It's not like we had heroin addicts going, oh, stop bagging heroin, you fucking heroin, you know.
Just a bit.
Yeah, just a bit, mate.
It's good for you. Calms me down.
Yeah.
You know, keeps me relaxed. Fucking get a bit in you. It's all right. Yeah. Just don't have too much, you know. Just learn how to moderate.
Yeah, just because... You'd wonder if we'd have this. I mean, if it wasn't alcohol, if it was cocaine was the acceptable drug in our society, like alcohol is. You know, just like, oh, just have one line. No, you've just done too many lines. Just have the one line. You know,
bloody idiot.
Yeah, just
I can just stick to 1 gram, you idiot. what's wrong with you?
But yeah, people. That's the thing. Like, people have this attachment to this thing because, I mean, like for us, I mean, it's just this attachment we built from fucking being teenagers all the way through our entire lives.
Exactly. And it is also because it's been in human history for such a long time.
Yeah.
Like Egyptians were bloody drinking alcohol like 3,000 years ago. Yeah. So like, you know, it's deeply ingrained within our culture, within us as human beings. So, you know, it makes sense that we're attached. But it's been really powerful. Like, you know, I used to have doubts, but now it's just, yeah, I feel like I've really shaken thing off, you know.
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm headed in a direction that is just alcohol's not needed, not required, not wanted, and it feels good. It's taken a while to get there, not gonna lie, you know. Like we've talked about that a bit, is from the first day that you sort of say, all right, I've got to get sober, to perhaps where you and I are now, where we're pretty calm. Yeah, it takes a while. Mm. And it goes up and down and up and down, but it's just being patient, stick with it. If you relapse, drink again, that's okay. Mm. You got to go through that sometimes, and then just get and then eventually you'll find your way.
Yeah, because I was at an event on Saturday, and there was a lot of old mates, and I chatted with a guy, and he was asking me, like, he's like, yeah, I went a couple of months off the booze, but then I just had a moment where I guess, I don't know, whatever was going on inside him, he just went to the drink, just yep. to shut it out or whatever. And he was asking me, oh, do you still have that? And like, what do you do? And, you know, it was an interesting question, because it's like, yeah, like, I still have those moments of those feelings or whatever come up. Mm. But like, it's not the desire to drink. It's still the desire. I think there's still the desire to escape. I just like, okay, how do I do it? All right. Alcohol. No, that doesn't work. We can't. We've closed that door. Like, I've just fucking bolted the door shut. Like, that's done. Like, we can't be going back down that road again. So, yeah. I mean, for me, I mean, sometimes it's just fucking like eating too much food until I get sick.
Yeah, well, food's a big one.
Yeah,
food's a big one for a lot of people, I think.
Mm.
It's actually, I listened to a Huberman podcast recently, and he was talking about how food is potentially one of the worst addictions to have, because it's not like if someone has a, you know, big food problem, it's not like if you've got an alcohol problem, you can just stop drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
If you've got a food problem, you can't just stop eating.
You have to keep eating.
You have to keep eating. So it'd be like, I think he said something like, it's like giving a gambler $10 and saying, all right, you have to go to the casino and still use $10, but you can't spend any more. Like, and it's like, well, of course, it's wrought with danger, because once you start and what, so food is a massive one for a lot of people. And I personally had, we talked about this, I've actually battled with like nicotine as well since quitting quite a lot, which, especially while traveling. Like, I was quite good when I was here, but going overseas, going to hostels and being in Europe, you know, everyone, you know, romantically smokes darts and all that. And so I did actually, I was smoking there for a while. Well, actually, end of last year, I was like vaping and then sort of cut that out, and then started smoking again when I got to Europe. And then I sort of stopped, and then a mate had a vape and I had some, and then I was kind of on the vape again for a while. So I've kind of gone through this like seesaw of nicotine. But I've now been off it for a couple of weeks, which is nice. And I feel like, now that I'm back home, I feel a bit more like it's been done. But yeah, the addiction thing, it's still there for me. And I find that, I can get hooked on these things. I still have things that I go to, but they're not as destructive.
Well, that's the thing, you know, we talk about, because we know, I've said it to somebody where it's just like, we know how, like, I mean, for myself, probably for you as well, like, I know how bad alcohol can get for me.
Yeah.
And so then to compare it to like overindulging in like sugary food that just, I don't know, makes me feel full and sick, then there's like, oh, that's whatever. Like, that's fine.
Yeah. That's all good.
All to stop whatever it is that I'm not sure how to process and feel and whatever. But I'm not shitting the bed and fucking.
Well, exactly. That's right. I mean, that's it. It's literally, pick your poison, and there's some worse than others. Like mine at the moment is, I've become really addicted to playing chess on my phone, chess online, which is like so ridiculous. So I can just sit there for like 2 hours just like intensely playing chess. But yeah, it's better than picking up a cigarette or picking up a drink. So I'm quite happy to be doing something that's less destructive. And whether it's a video game or food, it's not great. And eventually you do want to, you know, obviously all of us would like to be eating fairly healthy and, not spending too much time on our phones and things like that. But if you've recently quit drinking or you've quit drugs or quit smoke, like if you need to sort of channel a little bit and you need to eat a chocolate bar because you're about to have a meltdown.
Yeah.
And and eating a chocolate bar is going to make you feel better, then I think it's much better to just have the chocolate bar.
Yeah, yeah.
And just get through, because it's a lot less destructive.
Well, I mean, I had that when I was, coming off the booze and rehab. Like, I had a phase of just, I don't know, it was just sugar cravings. I mean, that was a big, because, like, I was drinking a lot of, like, regular Coke, Sprite.
Shit.
And then eventually I got back out, and then I was eating, like, I mean, you saw we got I got a couple of crunchy bars. That were the crunchy bars were always the.
Yeah, I noticed they disappeared pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it might have been one for me, one for you. I was like, oh, he's bought me a chocolate bar. They were gone in 20 seconds.
Yeah.
But I get it. So I had a
period. I had a period like that, and then I eventually swapped to bananas. But then I was eating like fucking. I'd be eating like 6, 7, 8 bananas a day.
Really?
Yeah.
What was that like?
It's just
fucking Peter Siddle over here eating 8 bananas.
Potassium galore.
Inferior potassium.
Yeah. So.
What? How did you actually feel after eating 8 bananas?
I think like throughout the day. I don't know if I'd think like because I'd have 2 chocolate bars. I'm like, all right, we'll have 2 bananas instead.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I would be. I don't know. Then it'd be like in the if it was like all right breakfast, like if like bananas became dessert basically. Ah. So it's like I don't know if it was 6 to 8. So if it was like 2 bananas in the morning, 2 bananas at lunch, 2 bananas in the evening. But then it'd be like, you know, what if I just still feel hungry and then just keep eating?
What were your guts like? Was it? you remember? No. I'd love to know.
I got some bananas over there.
Maybe we should eat 8 bananas each and then see how we feel.
Yeah.
Hey, look, that's a good addiction, though. If you need to swap to a fruit addiction, look.
Fruit addiction. Oh, there's this video that I wanted to try out. I wanted to see if it worked. This ex-porn star was talking about his boner shake.
Wow. What? His boner shake?
So basically, he would have 4 raw eggs and a scoop of protein and then have that before he went to bed and then woke up the next morning, and that apparently gives him the stiffy he needs for work.
Oh, wait, porn stars are working in the morning?
Yeah.
God, that would be so weird. Goes off.
Yeah.
Beep, 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 beep.
You know, it's one of those things on the internet where you're just like, oh, is that true? Well, let's say I'd probably do it and then like my fucking dick would explode or something.
Gotta go to hospital.
But if they want to try that out, I'll try it out at some point.
4 eggs.
Four eggs and fucking vanilla protein. Something to do with all the cholesterol or something.
I wonder what time they do film porn. Do you think it's morning or do you think it varies? Morning would be, it'd be too much. Imagine going in 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. All right, close off, time to get to it. I wouldn't be ready. I wouldn't.
No.
Don't you think?
I mean, you got to remember it's a job. It's a professional setup.
Yeah,
a lot of them are, I don't know. You know, and if you want to literally bang out a couple of scenes in the day. I don't know if it, like, I wonder if they do like a couple of scenes, the men have got it. Because there's like a talent of men, like there's always lots of women. But
yes.
There's usually like they have a couple of guys that, because I guess getting a guy that can do the job.
Yeah, true.
Seems to be more of a.
A magician.
Yeah, to find guys that can do the job.
Yep.
You know, it's like, all right, he can do the job. All right, we'll use him.
Mm.
So it's like, all right, you need to fucking bang it out 3 times a day for...
Poor guy.
That's where you hear about stuff. Like, I mean, a lot of them take Viagra and do like all sorts of things to just keep the engine running.
Yeah, wow. Got to be such a weird feeling just driving in traffic. Like everyone's off to their office jobs and you're just... off to have sex with someone in some random place. Off to work after with my giant erection after 4 weeks.
What am I today? Am I the pizza delivery guy? Am I the fireman? Am I the plumber? Am I the pool boy? Am I the astronaut? Am I the doctor?
The astronaut. I love seeing astronaut scene. That's something else. Wow.
Yeah, I wonder if they've...
That's an idea. Maybe we can...
If there's zero gravity... porn.
Now we're talking.
Well, we shouldn't be, porn's a bad addiction as well. So,
well, it is.
Yeah.
It is. It's all the same shit, really.
Yeah.
If you look at food, you look at cigarettes, porn, gaming, it's all the same shit.
Mm.
It's a distraction from our emotions.
Yeah.
Because we like to stuff them down. And we like to just not look at them.
Yeah.
But yes, it's all the same shit.
Yeah.
So I guess it's just...
Yeah. And like, oh, we need to process them. Okay, I've processed them. Now what? More emotions come in. Oh, well, do they end? No, they just keep coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. Just like sex workers do.
Yeah, nice. Nice, Will.
So this has been all over the place, obviously, but that's good.
Yeah,
I think a good conversation like that. Do you have any final words you want to leave us with for this episode, Mitch?
I guess if I have any final words, my final words are to all of our listeners, thank you very much for listening. Obviously, it's been amazing watching the podcast grow while I've been overseas and watching you do all your hard work. And I guess, yeah, the message is to just, yeah, stay off the booze. Keep pushing through. That'll be my advice, is just to keep getting through life without drinking, because it is really good at the other side.
Mm. And even if, yeah, like you're going through rough spots, like it is, yeah, just keep pushing through, because that moment will pass and you'll come out the other side.
Yes.
And you won't regret it, because you'll get out the other side and then you look at it and you go like, oh, I'm so glad I got through it.
Yes.
I didn't succumb to going back out.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, even just with, because not to be hard on yourself with slipping up, because, I mean, just, you know, it happens. It's happened with you. It's happened with me.
Yep.
You just don't make it, certainly just don't make it a habit of it like I did for 6 months. I mean, that's kind of, but I think the way that, obviously, where I was at was not, I wasn't in the headset that I am in now where, I'd probably be in a better place to be like, all right, we need to shut it off.
Yeah.
But I'm just not turning it back on again. So,
yes, exactly.
And I think I was asked, I guess, with this, you know, I guess with this sort of thing that we're doing, it's like, you know, what is it for? You know, what could it be for? What could the purpose be for it? And I just thought, I'd wonder if I had this podcast, access to the information that we're now sharing, all the other stuff that's on around there, like if I'm doing this for myself in my mid-20s, that guy that was drinking heavily, excessively, who was even starting to, because I do remember, like, I was starting to explore, like, I mean, a lot of it was just looking at celebrities who'd gotten sober. Like, that was, I used to watch a lot of stuff, like Robin Williams, you know, got sober. And I remember Bradley Cooper was another one. Mm. And Robert Downey Jr., who's like the finest example. I mean, the fact that Robert Downey Jr., for most people, will know him as Iron Man. Like, the people like our past, our generation, will only know him as Iron Man. But there's a generation of people who knew him as just, he was just a complete, like, out of control drug and alcoholic, and he went to jail and completely flipped it around, and he's had an inspiring sort of turnaround to where, like, he's one of the most, you know, profitable Hollywood movie actors. But yeah, like, what, and then just them talking about just their experiences, and, you know, that was kind of, there was some sort of inspiration in that, but I guess there's always in that head just like, oh, I don't know if I can do it. Looking up AA meetings and thinking, yeah, I've looked up AA meetings, now I'll go to the bottle shop instead.
Yep.
So yeah, like, back to this, like, if I had, you know, if there's stuff like this around to listen to, and I think even just like, because what the feedback I've had from several people is just like, it's what they liked was, it's just people, which I like as well. I like that it's just, you know, not to, because I've always trying to figure out how to say it where it's not sounding rude, but like, I like people. Like, I like that it's just such and such does this. It's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, the grand scheme of things. It's
the average Aussie battler.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, this story sounds similar to mine.
Yeah.
And this is what they're doing. Oh, maybe I could do it too.
Exactly. And I guess that's the thing we've always wanted, is to make people listening realize that you're not alone.
Mm.
You know, whatever you've done or whatever you're addicted to or whatever self-limiting beliefs you have, you know, if you think that if you quit drinking and have no friends and you're not funny anymore and you're going to be boring and you're going to live a boring life and it's all going to be doom and gloom, you're not the first person to have those conceptions. Mm. You're not the, you know, like, we've all gone through that. And so, yeah, that's what we're trying to unveil, is that, yes, it's normal to have those beliefs and or to make mistakes, like we've talked about, fucked up stories, shitting beds, pissing beds, assaulting people, you know, like, whatever it may be, you know, it happens to the best of us. Mm. And it's okay, just keep going. And we love you.
Mm.
Well, most of you, not all of you.
I've commitment issues now. But absolutely, yeah. It's well, it's a pleasure for you to join me again.
Yes.
Once again, and it's been a lovely little catch up. So thank you for joining me again, Mitchell. And I'm sure we'll be doing more while we can.
Yes.
In between your next adventure.
Yes.
As you sail off into the sunset.
Into the sunset.
I think we'll leave it at that. This has been the Last Drinks Podcast. I'm Will Hitchens. That's Mitchell Ford. And we'll see you in the next one.
Nice.